This is your station, 88.9 KETR. My name is Jared Knight, and I'm joined, as always, on a Thursday morning by the man who can break it down, Mr. Bob Aiken. Sir, how are you?
And we will break down a topic in the news through the magic of...
of radio.
Okay.
Well, imagine, if you will, the following
imagine
thing.
If you will, our genial host prowling somewhere off Broadway while the rest of us are just keeping the home fires burning.
But so I may be away, but I'll be back.
I think all things considered, we've been playing with music and movies and whatnot the last couple of weeks. And while you're trying to inflict culture on us from... I think it's probably time for us to break down what's been going on in the world of politics and government, and how when one intrudes on the other, while it's supposed to be designed that way, it's rarely a pretty picture this day and time. Let's do a civics lesson.
Ready.
On budgets, real and imaginary.
Okay. This sounds like a college algebra lesson.
Okay. It's early in the campaign season, and all of the Republican talking points created by Republican campaign consultants, as done by Frank Lutz and a couple of other of their researchers and crafters of messages, have, for a few days last week, you could not turn on a TV or get a report when a Republican senator or congressman was being interviewed who did not manage to work into his first sentence. It's been over 1,000 days, and the Senate Democrats have yet to produce a budget. Well, now let's back up a minute. A budget is sometimes misused. It's kind of the way people who think something that's unproven and is purely hypothetical, that's theoretical. A theory is something that's real, like gravity or evolution.
You're going to have people throwing things at you.
Well, we certainly hope so. Or relativity.
Okay.
When it gets right down to it, in the past roughly 40 years, Congress had never had control of the budget. Until the 1920s, the budget requests of the various departments were simply assembled and sent to the Auditor General, who ran their general accounting office, and submitted to Congress. Now, if the president chose to delve into the inner workings of the Interior Department, there would be instructions on what kind of money to ask for or what programs.
Right.
But before that, politics, the budget, were terribly decentralized. Well, when the president would begin to be required by law to submit a consolidated budget request to Congress, that's the president's budget message, it is then turned into one or more bills to be enacted. They are appropriations. By the Constitution, money cannot come out of the Treasury except by law. Well, that's not a budget. That's an act of appropriation. And legally, you cannot appropriate money which had not had some previous authorization in law. You ought to be able to go look in a law book and find what it is the State Department or the FBI or the Weather Service or somebody, how they were authorized to do certain things. It's often quite broad. But in the 1970s, after going to the mat once too often with Richard Nixon, Congress passed the Budget Control Act, which required a resolution. Mind you, resolution, not bill. It doesn't carry the force of law, but it's instructions to each house as to how much can be spent in any one category. Well, the Senate simply passed, and the House concurred, in a 10-year, as they call it, Budget Control Act. They don't even bother passing one of these resolutions. What is required to draw money out of the Treasury is a law passed by both houses and signed by the president. Well, that's kind of what's going on here. In a lot of ways, it's purely imaginary. That's not a real budget.
Okay.
Go get your handy-dandy Constitution. We really ought to do sometime for about a month and just do article by article, or maybe in some cases there are a couple of them that are dull and boring.
I'm starting to say, articles. I think you'd be hard-pressed to find folks who wouldn't think that most of it would be dull and boring.
Well, right after We the People, it's all downhill from there. what I would argue would be that there is a, you know, there really ought to be something where we kind of try to clear up common misconceptions
right.
about the Constitution. And that's what has been going. Usually when somebody says, well, that's clearly unconstitutional, what that really means is, I don't like it, or I wouldn't like it if it happened. It rarely means anything that's actually grounded somewhere in the Constitution that's been passed on by the courts. As we have talked a number of times, the First Amendment has nothing to do with whether or not you or I can say anything at a cocktail party.
Right.
We can, but there are consequences.
Exactly, right.
It simply means that the government, initially the federal government,
Congress shall make no law.
And that prohibition was extended to the states and presumably their local instrumentalities like cities and school districts by passage of the 14th Amendment.
Right.
Well, that's all it is. Congress shall pass. Hey, there's nothing that restricts anything about what anybody else can say or do, or that there could be consequences.
Right.
So that's a good place to pick up.
Oh, yeah.
And we're going to look, as we start approaching Super Tuesday, as we have watched these truly odd things occur, you used to hear years ago that the three things you just can't talk about in polite society are politics, sex, and religion.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then it got to be, well, you probably shouldn't talk about two of them at once, let alone all three. Well, since in the various Republican primaries, as this has now all come up, they're talking about all three. And it so far has not had the effect that some might have hoped for.
Right.
Though some of the rest of us are just loving it. I think what we probably ought to pick up on would be, let's look and just see what this situation looks like as we are approaching Super Tuesday.
That sounds good. Mr. Aiken, thank you so much for coming in and breaking it down.
Well, we'll do it again.
All right. We are your station, 88.9 KETR. Your local news is on the way.